Welcome to Stories and Stanza. I'm happy to have you here. I'm a writer and I created this podcast to bring out the real stories that make life as beautiful as poetry. I'll take you on a journey through human experience and share stories and conversations to uplift your spirit. Whether you're a lover of literature, a writer, or simply someone who enjoys a good story, Stories and Stanza may be the place for you. Today is another episode of the Fail With Me segment, where we explore what failure truly is and how to link this with emotional intelligence in a supportive space. In a messy and imperfect world where we celebrate success and whisper about failure in a hushed tone, Fail With Me flips the script. Please join me in welcoming Eva Engwert as a guest speaker, who is a somatic coach. Somatic experience refers to the way you experience the world through your body. It includes your physical sensations, emotions, and movements. Somatic experience can be used to improve your overall well-being and can help you cope with stress and trauma. I recently attended one of her workshops, which I previously talked about in an episode. And in this episode, she has agreed to join as a guest and share more details about her somatic awareness trainings and how to focus on our body to control our emotions. I hope you will enjoy this episode and feel free to share your thoughts. Thank you. Hi, Eva. Good afternoon and thank you for joining Stories and Stanza.
Well, good afternoon and thank you for having me on. I'm just excited to be here.
I did a podcast episode for the workshop that I attended in Turkey. And believe me, it has been life-changing experience for me. And I really wanted to have you on my podcast so that I could tell more people about the workshop. So I'm really looking forward to it. And thank you for making your time.
Oh, I just appreciate being here. So thank you. It goes both ways.
Yep. So for our listeners, could you give a brief introduction, please?
So I'm Eva Engwert, and I'm a somatic awareness coach. Did you want to hear what I do? Do you mean the introduction or?
Yeah, anything you like to tell, yeah.
Well, what I love to do is to be in sessions with clients. I work mostly with clients who have anxiety, anger challenges, or any kind of repetitive habits that they would like to end. I work a lot with childhood trauma, PTS. So I give sessions online and I just love it, to be honest. I love what I do.
Thank you. And I want to hear from you a little bit about the workshop that I attended, the anxiety and anger management workshop. So can you summarize the idea behind the workshop a little bit?
So it's where I come from is I have had a lot of talk therapy, a lot of different types of therapies to try to settle my own anger and anxiety. And it was like 16 years later, I stumbled on a book by Dr. Peter Levine, who, in an unspoken voice, in Awakening the Tiger, two books that became my Bibles. And I realized after I took his teaching and his course that it has to do with the body. And I had never even been aware that there was a way of feeling anything in the body except pressure and pain and everything I tried to avoid. So when I learned that, I really wanted to spread the news just to show other people that the reason why I was angry wasn't your fault or the situation or anything. It was actually because of what was going on inside of me. And there was a rude awakening for me. I always blamed either my kids or my husband or someone. Was someone's fault why I felt the way I felt. And after a couple of sessions, somatic experiencing sessions, I was just like, I felt like I came up for air. I've been swimming underwater my entire life. And suddenly I got to take this huge breath and I kind of got it. That's basically what the workshop is about, is just to show people through different exercises how they are functioning now. And then we do a couple of exercises, as you know, and then try to develop some kind of awareness. And then we do similar exercises at the end of the workshop to see if the participants feel anything different. Just to kind of help people to recognize that it isn't really people, places, things, or situations that are the quote-unquote problem. They are just triggers for certain body sensations that are so uncomfortable and we don't want to feel them. And it's the sensations that's the problem. So we just get triggers. Our surroundings are kind of just triggers, you know, through our five senses. And then sometimes our body, you know, gets some kind of tweaks or discomfort. And then we just react. But after kind of learning body awareness, we stop reacting and we start recognizing, oh, it's inside of me that the problem is.
Yep. No, attending your workshop has made a huge difference for me. And I am now reading about this and researching about this and slowly, you know, accepting that into my personal routine. And it's the reason why it has impacted me so much is it's something no one has ever told me before. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to understand one thing here, that, you know, in the workshop you focused on anger and anxiety. But does these triggers work for sort of any other emotions too?
In my world, the way I understand things, it works for everything. The moment I have an uncomfortable sensation or feeling inside, it's my stuff. There can be triggers, like I can stand next to someone that smelled like my ex-abusive husband, and I can... And I can get a sensation or a reaction. Oh, he smells just like, you know, it can be anything. So you look at someone and they remind you about something, and the body gets triggered. And if I can just remember, it's not that person, it's not the situation, it's not the place. This is just triggers. Any outside circumstance is just a trigger for an inside sensation that I just don't want to feel, or it scares me or whatever, but it's inside of me. So it's my job to kind of take care of that sensation instead of kind of blaming you for it, you know?
Yeah. And one of the concepts that you told us about, and I have been researching on that myself, is the icebreaker concept that you said, like we have certain emotions which we are keeping in ourselves, and they kind of blocks of ice, and then we try to become like overprotective around them. Can you tell us a little bit more about that concept? I really wanted people to hear it from you, because I have created an episode for after the workshop myself, and I really wanted to hear from you about the idea of ice blocks forming inside us and then troubling us going forward, giving us all these emotions and angers and things like that.
Well, I took a training, one of the trainings I took with Dr. Peter Levine. In there somewhere, he mentioned that anytime we're in a situation that's traumatic, overwhelming, something that we just can't fight and we can't get out of it. He says, we kind of freeze. So after a couple of those, we walk around with these frostbites inside. And I kind of like that concept. So, but the way I felt, it wasn't just a few rough frostbites. I felt like I was just in an ice block. You know, after my past and with all abuse and so on, I was just frozen solid. And when you think about, you know, Michelangelo and how people ask Michelangelo how he could create such a wonderful statue as David, and I'm paraphrasing it somewhat, he had said that, oh, I didn't create David. God created David. I just removed what was not David. So I'm using that kind of thought because if we walk around in the world like big ice blocks because we're so scared, and in the middle of this ice block is little mini me. You know, and if you go at an ice block with an ice pick or a blowtorch, you might just touch in to the mini me. You might just touch into that fragile little person in there that so desperately tried to protect, you know, themselves. But if you put the ice block out in the sun, meaning if you pay attention to it with some love and compassion and kindness, it will melt, you know. And you know, you put a big ice block out in the sun and it melts. Small little pieces at the time, so that eventually we can come out. We can dare to let go of this frozenness and become a little more of who we are, a little more warm, kind, and flexible. So that's kind of how I looked at it.
No, it's a very effective way of explaining this. And I believe when we take our next step towards mindfulness, then we look back at these ice blocks, and it is absolutely possible to melt it and then go from there. I wanted to ask you something slightly different. So in this podcast, I decided to talk about failure. The reason being that when I used to read any motivational book or article, it kind of assumed that the reader is failing and says, you are doing this wrong and you have to do this to get it right. And then I decided that, you know, if I start writing or exploring that subject, I'll say that failure is very normal and natural process, and it is how we have our emotional intelligence around it. That's how we can truly come out of it. And when I attended your workshop, that kind of resonated a lot with me, that, you know, it is perfectly normal and natural to fail. And then, you know, we have all the tools in our disposal to come out of it and become resilient. How do you feel about this idea?
Yeah, it's just the word sounds so negative, a failure. I think there isn't one successful person out there that hasn't failed multiple times to find, you know, to be at where they're at now. And any kind of interview you hear with people, it's almost like from the failures that they learn the most significant parts to become who they really are. So it's, I think we're just afraid. And because it's such a negative tone to fail, what does that really mean? Oh, you missed the mark. Oops, it didn't happen the way you thought it would. And then I guess there are different, you know, different sizes on failures. We can fail big or small, but I think we have to fail partly to get to know ourselves and see where we can shine and where we need to learn a little more about ourselves or You know, there are so many. I can hear myself, I'm rambling, but failure, oh, I think I have failed so much in my life, and I think it's very important to not beat ourselves up and just, you know, take it so personally that we become a failure. We're not a failure. We just failed. And, oh, we try something else. And, oh, we try again and we say how it works.
Yes. And the reason why I asked this question is, you know, we talked about the ice blocks, and I have personally experienced that sometimes that we are so focused on the negativity of failure, we create ice blocks around failure. And it is possible to rethink that and melt it and then move forward.
Yeah, I think most of the interviews I hear with people who has been very successful say that it's almost like you have to fail to succeed. We learn most from our failures, but I think we're all kind of afraid of them.
Yes, we are. It's maybe it's kind of a conditioning that we grow up that this is success and this is failure, and then all these sort of emotions, that these mental blocks kind of start growing around them. Mm-hmm. We did a recent episode about coping and healing, and then we used a lot of concepts from like melt, as you said, like melting the ice blocks. I wanted to hear this from you, is that like what happens when we keep those ice blocks inside, like how like people struggle and then they don't know that they can actually come out of it, as in how do that journey towards healing can become like one for someone who is stuck in that space where they're just barely surviving.
I think it's very individual, and it's up to how much we're willing to feel. I had to lay on the floor with a towel in my mouth, screaming in pure panic attacks before I was willing to go somewhere and listen to someone of how I could live a little better. So personally, I've been pain-driven. I haven't been willing to change until it just hurt too much to stay the same. And I think we're not always aware that we have all these blocks. You know, it's not like we identify, well, you know, I have this block and we work on it. Or maybe some people do. I personally I was just in pain. And I kept on doing the same thing over and over and over again, and then hating myself for it. So I think it's really individual what makes us finally become willing to take a look and become willing to change.
Yes, absolutely. So something that came as a self revelation for me is that I used to feel that okay, I have this problems, and then if I have a creative outlet, which is my writing, then you know that gives me a survival, like that gives me something to go on. But then I realized that I was not addressing the real problems. Mm-hmm. And it just you know, it took some time to get that message sink in, and I now feel that we did the workshop about a month ago, right? So
yeah, about a month. Yeah.
I think it was towards the end of March, and in that time frame, like the exploration that I have done at my end, I feel that so all that I was doing, like it was kind of keeping the ice blocks, it's just diverting somewhere else. But whenever those ice blocks got touched and I felt anger or frustration or be upset about it, And then I realized that I was not like approaching the root cause, and mm-hmm. which is where, you know, I feel that I have seen a different a path for myself. And now that I know, I think I can explore my creativity in a better way. It doesn't have to be a coping mechanism. Right? I mean, if I know that these ice blocks can be melted. So, I wanted to hear from you as in, and again, the path would be very different for everyone. It's just that, can people get stuck in their coping mechanisms?
Well, I believe so, because, you know, I think any behavior can become repetitive and addictive, and for whatever reason. There is a book out there by Alexander that's called The Globalization of Addiction, and he talks about four different kinds of addiction. And addiction number three that he talks about, three and four, are actually you're doing something good for other people. But even that can become addictive. So I think, you know, when you say coping in a way, so how do I say this? If you put a pressure cooker on the stove, you know pressure cooker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you put the lid on, you tighten it down, and you stick it on the stove. You turn on the heat. So all of us have a certain amount of pressure internally. I mean, it's just going. So there is a valve there just to make sure that we don't explode. As we grow up in my world, I believe the heat goes on more and more and more. So we need more valves to kind of release the pressure. And we can have valves as drugs and alcohol, or we can call it a habit. We can run marathons, or we can go out running 50 miles a week, or whatever it is we do. And we can call it coping. We can call it managing the pressure inside, but it's still there. So in my world, rather than coping or managing the stress, I would like to turn down the heat on the stove just to kind of, so that eventually you can take the lid off, because there will always be bubbles. We're alive. There will always be some little discomfort or that we have to deal with. But if we learn how to pay attention to our physical sensations in our body and recognize, that it's just a wave, it will always pass. Then I'm not coping or managing, you know, just like having a valve on the pressure cooker. I'm actually adjusting the heat. And then I can live on simmer. I don't have to hold on to myself or cope, so to say. Does that make sense?
It does. It definitely does. And thank you for explaining with such a brilliant example. And when we become aware that we are keeping these ice blocks inside us, which are triggering these emotions, what do you suggest we do? I mean, we talked a little bit about mindfulness, but if you could give a little bit more explanation as to what is the way forward from there. Again, not I'm saying it's again very different for different people. I'm saying that as an exercise, what one can possibly think of that would, you know, melt these ice blocks.
Well, if you've never done anything about it, I think it's really good to just actually learn from a practitioner that can take mm-hmm. you through a session where you kind of really learn how it feels like. And I mean, even you in the workshop, you had a physical sensation, right? Something happened with you in the workshop. So I think that initial, oh, it's like a aha. If you remember that, then you can do it yourself. Like even if you get upset, whatever is going on with you, as long as we know this is going on with me. I may not like that person, or I may really be angry at that person, or my situation is really overwhelming. However, the only thing I kind of can focus on is how am I doing? You know what I mean? So what can we do in a situation? I think we need to learn somewhere. How do I find that place inside of me? Like, what can I do? I teach people stop, drop, check, for instance. You know, I say, wait a minute, stop. What are you doing right now? Like, stop. And just ask yourself, do I feel safe? Like right now, do I feel safe? If the answer is no, of course you can physically remove yourself. But if the answer is yes, you drop, meaning you let go of your breath. Let go of the control of your breathing. Just, and then you check. What sensations am I feeling in my body right now? What's going on with me? So in any situation you're in, if it's a person, you know, people, places, things, and situations, you just stop. Do I feel safe? Drop. And check. What am I noticing in my body right now? And when you know what's going on in your body and you give that attention, then you're melting the ice. The moment you give attention to your body, the ice may melt. It's a little crackle. It might just be uncomfortable. There are some sensations you may not like, but it's, and the ice melts a little bit. And then you can choose how to respond in the situation. So you're just not reactive like your hand on a stove, you know, and you know, and we get angry. We just stop, drop, check, and choose how to respond. You may still have to leave the room, or you may still, at least you know what you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I think I have asked you the questions that I had in mind. So I will, when I publish this episode, I will put your references so that people can find you. And I hope that you will be back in Melbourne again sometime.
Oh, I just appreciate you having me on. I mean, whatever I can do to help out, it's definitely... How did you feel about the workshop? As a question back to you, like, what is your aha?
My aha thing is that, you know, you said something that no one has ever told me before, okay, that the interpretation of anger, you said that, you know, when we are angry or when you have some kind of emotional release, okay, so I'm angry, then that gives us a sort of momentary satisfaction, says that we get hooked onto that negative release. And I feel that that's what has been happening to me. I mean, as long as I can remember, I mean, if I knew that this is what was happening, I probably would never have done that. And then that was the biggest takeaway for me, from the workshop. And as I said, that I have been reading about emotional intelligence, and I'm reading about mindfulness and meditation, etc. So I feel that, you know, everything, all the literature that I've gone through, it's talking about the same thing. And I just didn't know that all of that existed within myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, it gives me a lens that I wish I had before, but now I feel so like it's like something is off my chest.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's why I feel like more motivated to, you know, do my creativity and this podcast as well. That I'm not doing this as a coping mechanism. I'm not doing this as an escape. I'm doing this because I want to do this. I enjoy doing this. And
yes,
I'm not, you know, holding on to dice blocks per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, often I'd rather be angry than scared. You know, so if I'm scared, it often switches over to anger. For me, at least, it did. And it's kind of the same arousal feeling in the body, very similar if I'm really scared or really angry or even really excited. The body feels similar quite often. So it can switch over very easy that I'm so incredibly scared that I get mad, you know. So it's difficult to, so that's why it's easier to, I don't ask myself, am I sad? Am I angry? I don't really care. How do I feel in my body? Oh, I have a pressure in my chest. My stomach has a knot. My throat is closing. Ah, okay. Little ice is melting. Ah, and now I can respond to my life again.
Yes. So, yeah, thank you for making time and talking to me today, Eva. And I'm sure that this will give some pointers to people who are following this podcast. And I will make sure to send it to people who ask me about your workshops and your ideas.
Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I so appreciate you. And sure hope to meet you.
And I will send you, yes, and I'll send you the episode links and the embed links so you can use it anywhere you want to.
Wonderful.